In our first two lessons in this series, Dr. Smith provided us with superb instruction about the teaching ministry of Christ. For us to understand the teaching ministry of God the Father properly, we need to look closely at an essential dimension of the teaching ministry of Christ that is the foundation for everything that we've already learned. In just the Gospel of John alone, more than 12 times we read statements where Jesus tells us that everything that he did and everything that he taught was from the Father. So we have statements such as these where Jesus said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." And Jesus said, "I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." So in reality, all that we studied about the teaching ministry of Jesus has been material about the teaching ministry of God the Father. We've already had two lessons on the teaching ministry of God the Father, because the teaching ministry of God the Father encompasses everything about the teaching ministry of Christ. The writer of Hebrews extends our understanding of the teaching ministry of the Father even further when we consider that he informs us that he's spoken to us in these last days through his Son, and he had previously spoken to us in the prophets long ago. So our understanding of the teaching ministry of God the Father must include all that was given to us in the prophets and all that was given to us through Christ. So we derive a better understanding of the teaching ministry of God the Father by considering how Jesus illumined various statements that we read of in the prophets. We'll look at a fourfold comparison. And as we look at this comparison, follow along and see if you can see how Jesus is illumining what we were already given. Long ago, in this statement, we were told that the Israelites did not walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. And of course, we know from Hebrews 1 that this is a statement about the Father. Now let's move to those four comparisons. Here's the first one. Psalm 147 tells us, "Sing to the Lord, sing to our God, who provides rain for the earth." What did Jesus teach us? Matthew 5, Jesus taught us, "Your Father who's in heaven, he's the one who sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So whereas the Old Testament taught us that it was God, it was the Lord who sends rain on people, Jesus illumined that teaching to teach us that that teaching was teaching not just from the Father, but about the Father. God the Father is the one who sends rain on the world. A second comparison. Job 38 has this question. "Who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God?" Psalm 147, in effect, answers that question. "Sing to the Lord, sing praises to our God. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry." Now look at what Jesus said. Luke 12, "Consider the ravens, God feeds them." Well, that was what we were given in the Old Testament. But in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, "The birds of the air," and then in very parallel language to what we saw in the Old Testament, he says, "It's your heavenly Father who feeds them." So the Old Testament taught us that God feeds the birds. Jesus illumined that teaching by telling us that that was teaching about God the Father. God the Father is the one who feeds the birds. Number three, in Psalm 50 we read that God says, "I'm God, your God. I know every bird of the mountains." Listen to Jesus. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God." Well, that's the same as the Old Testament. But in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from whom? Apart from your Father." Old Testament, God your God, but Jesus, your Father, is the one who knows every bird and who ordains what's happening to the birds. So on the strength of that threefold comparison, let's consider another important passage. In this passage, the prophet asks us with four imperatives to consider the farmer. And he gives us a series of questions. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? No. Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? No. Does he not do these things? Does he not level its surface? And then he sows the one crop here, he scatters the other crop there, he plants wheat in rows, and he puts barley in its place, and rye within its area. Now how does the farmer know to do these different things with these different crops? Why does the farmer do these things? Answer, because somebody's instructing and teaching him, for his God instructs and teaches him properly. God the Father is the one who teaches farmers how to do properly whatever they do with their crops. And the explanation goes on. Dill is not dealt with this kind of tool, and the cartwheel isn't driven over cumin, but dill is beaten with a rod and cumin with a club, and when you have the grain for bread that's being crushed, the farmer doesn't continually do that, otherwise he's going to damage it. And all of that comes from our Heavenly Father. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. Consider that we as human beings go forth to our work and to our labor until evening. And what is behind all of that? Beyond all of that? O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. God the Father is our creator, and he's ordered his universe to make everything work in specific ways. And when people do those things properly, it is because the Father ultimately is the one who is giving them those abilities. He's the one who's teaching them to do all of those things. So this is my Father's world. He sends rain on all the people. He feeds the birds. He knows and ordains what happens to every bird, and he's the one who teaches farmers to do properly what they're to do with differing crops. Consider parallel scripture. Solomon, he prayed to God, and God gave him exceeding wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba came and she saw the wisdom of Solomon, and she saw what? She saw his house, but not just his house. She saw the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and even their attire, his cupbearers and their attire, and the stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. And when she saw all that, she was breathless. And it wasn't just because of his great wealth that she was breathless. It was because all of that, the food, the attire, the service, all of that was displaying divine wisdom that God the Father had given Solomon. Exceeding wisdom. Wisdom that was unmatched. No human being had ever had that kind of wisdom. And she said, I had heard a report about you, but the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the presence of Solomon. To hear what? To hear his wisdom. And where did he get that wisdom? Which God had put in his heart. God the Father taught Solomon in an unmatched way. But as we know from our Bibles, beginning with the first human beings, and all the way through his special people, Israel, there has been a tragic rejection of our Father's teaching. So we read in the prophets, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. The Father wants to teach everyone, yet everybody has tragically rejected his teaching. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. But the Father's teaching has been rejected by all mankind because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because that was true, God the Father sent his Son. And then the Father taught his Son. And the Son here testifies to us in the prophets. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. God the Father discipled Jesus of Nazareth. And the Father discipled him to this end. Look at the glorious end that the Father had for this discipleship. That the Son might know how to engage in this vital ministry. This ministry to all mankind who is weary in its sins. And the Son was taught by the Father how to sustain the weary one with a word. So we think of that great invitation that Jesus gave. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, where did he learn to give people rest? It's because he was taught by our Heavenly Father. And that process was a teaching where God the Father awakened him morning by morning. And the Father awakened his ear to listen as a disciple. And here was the response of the Son. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. The Father taught his Son to obey him. Now, if the incarnate Son had to be taught, had to learn how to obey the Heavenly Father, how much more we? And then we come to our fourth comparison, where Jesus illumines the Father's teaching. In the prophets, in Isaiah 54, we read this statement: all your sons will be taught of the Lord. And the well-being, that well-being that they had forfeited because of their tragic rejection of the Father's teaching. And here's what Jesus did with this statement. John 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and now Jesus quotes Isaiah 54. And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from whom? From our Heavenly Father comes to me. Every person who comes to Christ does so because God the Father teaches him to do so. How eternally grateful should we all be that our Heavenly Father has taught us to come to His Son so that we weary people can find the rest for our souls that we so need and that we're not able to find anywhere else. The Father taught Peter. When Peter answered Jesus' question to him, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." Every time God reveals Himself to mankind, in one way or another, He is teaching human beings. And the Father taught Peter this special truth. The Father taught people that Jesus said were infants. Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, "I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to whom? To infants, to people who are lowly and meek in spirit, who are teachable, who come to God in a childlike way. Those are the people that the Father teaches, and He teaches those people to come to His Christ." At times the Father taught audibly. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there. And while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Whose voice was that that these three heard? Peter teaches us in 2 Peter. He says that we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from whom? From God the Father. Peter reveals to us here that that voice that came to them on the Mount of Transfiguration was the voice of our Heavenly Father. And at times our Heavenly Father taught people audibly. And then the Father has taught and teaches through His Spirit. At another time, Jesus said, "The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The Father taught the Son, And now the Father is going to teach the apostles through the Holy Spirit, who will bring back to their minds the things that Jesus had already taught them. So the Father teaches through His Holy Spirit. More broadly, the Father teaches all the nations. He asks these rhetorical questions. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who does what? Who teaches man knowledge. God the Father is teaching all of the nations when he chastens them. He teaches them through his judgments. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. But the wicked, when they're shown that kind of favor from God, they still don't learn the righteousness that God the Father wants them to learn. They continue to deal unjustly. But we who have been taught by the Father and who receive His teaching, we are taught by the Father to live properly. The grace of God our Father has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And what is that grace doing for us? It is instructing us. It is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And then we move to a very special thread of teaching about God the Father, the Father's special favor. In the Old Testament, we read blessed. Understand, uniquely favored, specially favored are the people whom the Father chastens and whom He teaches out of His law, that He may grant them relief from the days of adversity until a pit is dug for the wicked. Parallel that teaching with what the writer of Hebrews gives us in Hebrews 12. Listen to what he says. And you, Christians, have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And now he's going to quote from Proverbs 3. Think about this. Here we're being taught that Proverbs 3 is addressed to us as sons. And here's the exhortation to us. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. The Father extends special favor to us as His own. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits, our Heavenly Father, and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. So the Father teaches us in chastening, and the Father teaches us more broadly in our afflictions. Paul said this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. And what's unstated here but taught elsewhere is that comfort that the Father gives to us is through His Word, through which He comforts us. And so God the Father teaches us in all of our afflictions by driving us to His Word, which gives us the comfort that we need, and then we are taught to be able to comfort others. The Father especially and preeminently teaches us as believers to love one another. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. The Father even teaches celestial beings. Paul said that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, that's us, to whom? To the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. think about that. Our Heavenly Father teaches the farmers and He teaches celestial beings. So vast is the span of our Father's teaching ministry. And the Father gives us His capstone teaching, the book of Revelation. When we read these words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave Him to show to His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And He sent and communicated it by His angel to His bondservant John, who transmitted it on. And the Father's intent? He wants to specially favor us. He wants us to be blessed by reading and hearing and heeding the capstone of His teaching to mankind, the book of Revelation. And finally, the Father's ultimate teaching is going to go on for all of eternity, so that in the ages to come, our Heavenly Father is going to show us the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Unendingly, our Father is going to keep teaching us about the marvels of His grace, and that's going to go on forever. So we've considered much glorious truth about the ministry of our Heavenly Father as our teacher. And we can summarize most of what we've looked at in these 5 points. The Father taught Solomon, the Israelites, his son, and everyone who came to Christ during Christ's ministry, including Peter and others who came as infants. 2, the Father teaches farmers, the nations, His own, and celestial beings. 3, the Father's teaching includes teaching through His written word, through His Son, through His Spirit, through direct speech, through judgments and chastening, and in afflictions. 4, the Father teaches people to come to Christ, and He teaches those who have come to Him to live properly, especially by loving one another. 5, the Father will teach His own forever about the wonders of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ. So having considered all of that marvelous truth, what then is our proper response to the teaching ministry of our Heavenly Father? Of course, our proper response is we must glorify the Father for His ministry as teacher. And I'd like to present to you 10 points of how God the Father wants you and me to glorify Him as our teacher. 1, He wants us to do so by acknowledging and appreciating His teaching you and others to do properly all the legitimate things that we do in our lives. So the farmers who do what they do properly because the Father teaches them, acknowledge and appreciate that. But not just the farmers. It's Jesse Keck when he fixes our buses. It's Mr. Rouse when he cleans our buildings. It's Mr. Baker when he feeds us in the prayer breakfast. It's the people who decorate our rooms for neighborhood Bible school. And the list just goes on and on and on. And behind and beyond all of that, wherever there's excellence in anybody, and it's a legitimate endeavor, that's the glory of our Father who teaches people to do properly what they do. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Heavenly Father. Closely related, 2. Consecrate every legitimate endeavor in your life to the glory of our Father. In context, this great statement has specific meaning, but it has broader application. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And undoubtedly in 2016, God the Father wants all of us in an even greater way to glorify Him by consecrating all legitimate spheres of our lives to His glory, allowing Him to teach us how we can do whatever we do with excellence so that He is magnified. 3, we are to continually express gratitude to our Father for teaching us to come to Christ and teaching us through Him when we have come to Him. Where would we be if our Father had not taught us to come to His Son? So we need to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. 4, our Father wants us to glorify Him by cultivating our daily learning from the Father through His Word. In preparation for teaching this lesson, God the Father directed me to read this month 711 chapters in the Bible. I had no thought of ever doing anything like that. But as I kept studying, the Father just kept directing me and directing me. So I read Genesis 1 through 12, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and the whole New Testament. And feeding so intensely on the truth of God convinced me all the more that all of us need to be feeding daily on the truth from God our Father. Look at Deuteronomy 17, written to a king, and think of ourselves as a kingdom of priests. And it says this, the king was to write for himself a copy of this law. It was to be with him, and he was to read it all the days of his life, so that he could learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, so that his heart would not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he wouldn't turn aside, but his days would be prolonged. And if there's one exhortation I can give to you from this message more than anything else, let me charge you, read your whole Bible and read it again and read it again and read it again, and learn from our Heavenly Father the glories that He has for us as His people. Read the Word of God. And especially read and heed the book of Revelation. This summer I got to fill in for 8 weeks because one of the teachers was ill. And it was a series from the book of Revelation. And for preparation for that series and during the series, I read the book of Revelation through 12 times. And that's after having read the book through 36 times previously. And that intense feeding on that book so blessed me. And then I got to share that with my class. And there are glories in this book, the culmination of God's revelation to mankind that He wants to bless you with. God the Father wants to favor you with the book of Revelation and whatever else you may have heard in the past. This is God's word to you. He wants you to profit from the book of Revelation. Read that book and be blessed and learn and hear and heed what the Father wants to teach you. Number 5, God the Father wants us to glorify Him as our teacher by praying specifically to Him that He would teach us. Just in the Psalms alone, 16 times we read these words, teach me. And look at the concentration in Psalm 119. 10 times the psalmist is going to say, teach me, over and over again. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible, in Psalm 86, where the psalmist goes on and finally comes to verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. There's the heart of somebody who's being taught by the Father. That person wants all of his affections, all of his ambitions to be united to a single focus, to fear our Father's name. God the Father wants us to have His fear as our treasure. And the only way that's going to be true in our lives is if we pray to Him and ask Him to do that. Number 6, God the Father wants us to glorify Him as our teacher by subjecting ourselves properly to His chastening and His teaching us in that chastening. God the Father displays His love in a unique way when He chastens us. And the psalmist testifies in Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, this was true of me. I went astray. But now I keep your word. And what's presupposed here is that between the time that he was going astray and then he was afflicted and now he's keeping his word, there was divine dealing with him. And God chastened him and he submitted to it. And because he submitted to that dealing from God, he now was keeping God's word. So that the psalmist could even testify, it's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. and our Father wants to teach us through chastening. And maybe right now you are being chastened by our Heavenly Father. If so, listen to the Father's appeal. He wants you to subject yourself. He wants to profit you, to make you a partaker of His holiness. He doesn't want you to flounder around in your sin. He wants you to repent and come to Him and learn of Him and find rest for your weary soul. Let us glorify our Father as teacher by subjecting ourselves properly to Him as our teacher. Number 7. God the Father wants to be glorified as our teacher by our learning obedience through the sufferings that the Father brings into our lives. Think of Jesus of Nazareth, incarnate deity, fully God, fully man. Although He was a son, He had to learn. He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. If that was true for Him, how much more so will it be true for us? And our Heavenly Father wants us to learn obedience through the things which we suffer. Peter gives us this instruction in 1 Peter 4. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God are to do this, shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator, to our Heavenly Father, in doing what is right. Whenever sufferings come in our lives, what God wants to accomplish in our lives is to teach us to obey Him. We will be tempted to rebel and to disobey Him, but our Father wants us to learn obedience in our sufferings, and we need to take these words to heart, especially as the world in which we now live grows darker and as suffering looms even for us as Christians in this country. We have to be settled how we're going to respond if we suffer in the will of God. We must be committed to entrusting ourselves to our Heavenly Father as our faithful Creator in doing what is right. Number 8. We must glorify the Father as our teacher by allowing Him to comfort us in those sufferings so that He can teach us how to comfort others who suffer the same things. The psalmist said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that Your Word has revived me. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to Your Word." In our sufferings, if we turn away from our Bibles, if we turn away from our God, we are going to forfeit the comfort that He wants to give to us. No, we need to allow Him to comfort us by allowing Him to drive us to our Bibles, to feasting in His Word, so that He can comfort us in all of our sufferings and in all of our afflictions. Concerning Peter, Jesus said this, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, what are you to do, Peter? Strengthen your brothers." When God comforts us in our sufferings and our afflictions, He's not just doing it for our sake and for His glory. He's also doing it to equip us so that we can minister to our brethren who suffer in the same ways. Number 9, God the Father wants us to glorify Him as our teacher by our excelling even more at being taught by the Father to love the brethren. Paul said, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." John says, "This is the Father's commandment, that we love one another. Beloved, let us love one another." In 2016, undoubtedly, God the Father wants every one of us to consider our ways and to prayerfully ask Him to teach us to love one another more fervently with a pure heart. Think of how God wants you to love the brethren. Think of specific ways that He wants you to do that. And allow His Word to teach you to do that. And I need to do the same thing, and we will glorify our Heavenly Father when we do that. And finally, we glorify the Father as our teacher when we eagerly anticipate the glories to come. Eagerly anticipate. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And right after this, He goes into those famous verses, "For by grace are you saved," and so on. And He tells us that we are the workmanship of God, created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And those good works that we're to walk in are talked about in this statement that we've already looked at. God's grace that has appeared, that has saved us, that brought salvation to all men, is teaching us. God wants to be continually teaching us by His grace to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus in view of the eternal glories that our Father has for us in the future, when He's going to teach us forever about the glories of His grace. Right now, we need to eagerly anticipate those glories by allowing His grace to turn us from ungodliness and worldly desires and cause us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So we've considered a lot about the glorious ministry of our Heavenly Father as our teacher. And by no means have we even come close to an exhaustive treatment of those truths. And I hope that this exposure to all these glorious truths is going to create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in you. That you go back to your Bible and you dig through all of these passages and glorify our Heavenly Father by not just being a forgetful hearer of these truths, but by feasting on His Word and meditating on it and allowing it to transform you more and more into the image of His Son. So as we conclude in prayer in a moment, I'd like us to pray to our Heavenly Father, who is our incomparable teacher. And here are two key prayers for you to give consideration to. So teach us to number our days, and look at the purpose, look at the end in view, that we may present to you, our Father, a heart of wisdom. There's the heart of a person who wants to learn from God, but he has a right motive. He has a right goal in mind. He wants to be able to present to our Father a heart of wisdom. And that's the heart that we should have. Finally, this great ending to the book of Hebrews, a passage that I pray over and over again. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Of course, that's talking about our Heavenly Father. Equip you in what? Equip you in every good thing to do His will. Think about what Dr. Smith taught us about the kingdom of God being central to the teaching of Jesus and how that was equivalent to His righteousness and fulfilling His righteousness. Here's a prayer to that end. Equip you in every good thing to do the Father's will. Think about what Jesus taught us. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So pray to the Father that He would equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise You because You're a God who delights in mercy. We thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. and you have drawn us to your Son. How we praise you for your eternal goodness. Holy Father, we ask you to teach us your way. We ask you to give us hearts that have your fear as our treasure. We pray that you would cause us to know the way in which we should go. We pray that you would teach us to do your will. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of thee, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Holy Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.